The broker recommends a surveyor. The surveyor knows the captain. The captain knows the yard. Everyone is professional. Everyone looks polished. However, where it goes wrong is incentivization. This is the structure that super yacht ownership often runs on. And most owners don't find out until, unfortunately, something goes wrong. Jack McNally is the co-founder of Foreland Marine Consultancy, an independent owner's rep firm that works only for the owner. He's also the author of The First Owner's Reference, a field guide for owners that ask the questions brokerage houses don't want asked. Today, we talk about where owners are most exposed during a purchase, why operational involvement from management is often missing at the crew level, and what integrity actually looks like when millions of dollars and multiple stakeholders are in the room at the same time. I think you'll find this one useful.
Welcome to Yachting International Radio. Today, I have Jack McNally with us. And I believe, Jack, you are a independent super yacht consultancy. Maybe you can refine that.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. You have sparked a lot of interest on LinkedIn, especially with your super yacht owner's reference guide. So I have a plethora of, I hope, incredible questions to ask you. And I'm sure the listeners are listening with bated breath of what you're about to share with us, because I know this is something that is very much needed in the industry and you found a perfect niche. Before I go any further, do you want to do a little intro about yourself?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, my name's Jack. Yeah, I run Foreland Marine Consultancy with my dear esteemed friend and business partner, Dan Marks. We worked together a long time. In fact, we were at UKSA together many moons ago and have come up through the industry. And Daniela, we recognized there was a change that needed to be made. We are both engineers by trade. And we saw that there was, should we say some room for improvement? So, long story, but yeah, we kicked off the company. We're actually just coming up on our second anniversary in 2 weeks' time, which is very exciting.
Congrats.
And we have a few hats that we wear, but primarily we are project managers and technical representatives for owners in, broadly speaking, anything to do with yachts over 24 meters. Although we've got a slightly smaller, very exciting project on at the moment in Poland. And we position ourselves as trusted and, should we say, well, we might say respected individuals, but anyway, the trusted source and the guys that we call. We have about 20 consultants who we work with, who are basically our mates that we've all come up through the industry with, and a couple of our mentors who taught us everything we know. And they form a consultancy team whom we call on whenever we need, essentially, whatever job needs to get done or problem that needs to get solved. We've got America's Cup sailors and master mariners in our Rolodex, which is a very cool place to be. So there's the company. Me, yeah, I'm a lifelong sailor. Actually found my way into engineering by mistake, as one normally does. Where I've had the most amazing career under the past 12 years of sailing around the world, done some cool big motor yacht stuff. I was settled within the J-class fleet a few years ago now, and have had the most varied and wonderful career. And now here I am back in my hometown in the UK, spending quite a lot of time in the Barber as well. And yeah, I love it.
Amazing. Thanks for the intro. So I believe true independence should be in all existing organizations, but specifically to our industry, why is it important?
Well, look, how long do you have? That's a pretty.
Well, I've got a lot of questions to ask you.
Well, right.
So we might need to
rattle through them.
Yeah.
Look, so the industry is, as we know, reasonably opaque in its business practices and its structure, and that's by design, both from the commercial economic driver, from the brokerage houses and the yacht builders, but also from the owner's point of view, because a lot of these high net worth individuals buy yachts for their privacy and indeed their secrecy. And therefore, the whole culture exists then around, you know, secrets and whispers, right? Which has its place, of course, and discretion is one of our many qualities as an industry. However, the flip side of that, and there is always one, unfortunately, is that sometimes people get a rough deal. And if you don't know, then you don't know. So there's a slight sort of change in the breeze, as it were. The Secret Builders Association has come together over the last few years and launched a program called the Yacht Owners Representative Program, because the superyacht builders were recognizing that a lot of the big projects that they were doing were running overtime and out of budget due to lack of clarity of decision making, essentially. You know, it's costing them money. And now it seems a bit counterintuitive that they would build a framework for a role that actually would officially sit on the opposite side of the table to them. You know, you're representing the owner, not the yard, but they see the value in good, strong, clear leadership that's experienced, that also follows some sort of independent framework, because otherwise someone's getting paid. You're either getting paid by a brokerage, or you're getting a backhander from, well, we don't call backhanders anymore, they're incentives, but you know what I mean, from from securing a yard slot, for example. And it what it does is it clouds the picture. And if you have teams who are truly independent, now there is no such thing as truly independent, because everybody's getting the structure is set up that there isn't any of this like secret commission or anything, then everybody is there for only one reason, and that is for the excellence of their position to achieve the goal.
Okay.
So, go on.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm going to go back, Tanda, because this is something that we don't discuss openly, especially on the radio station. And
no,
it links
it's subject. And
yeah.
We've touched on it on the first owner's reference, which, by the way, just for the listeners, is a independent buyer's guide for your new yacht owner, basically. And it's different to the glossy magazines like you would see, because there's no sponsorship and it's not published by the brokerage houses. It's published by us, you know, but there's no commercial cost to it. And what it is, it's a truly independent and honest view of all the pros and cons, indeed, of the industry and of yacht ownership. So we have touched on the, I don't like to use the term backhander, but that is what it is.
No, I know, but it's a term that we are familiar with, working within the industry.
It takes many forms. For example, you know, let's say a captain might recommend a particular shipyard to an owner for a new build or a refit. And he, you know, might be given some sort of, it could just be a bottle of whiskey, or it could be
a bonus
financial, or it could be a preferential spot or something in exchange for bringing in work. Now, it greases the wheels of commerce, and it's a format that has worked for many years, but there are always people who take it to extremes. And this is,
what are the complications thereof? Okay, so if we, because I believe that this has become part of our industry culture. It's happened for many years. What are the complications? What are the impact? What is the impact? And how can something that you are offering help realign, recorrect, if you will, a system?
Again, long, big old answers to that question, but it comes down to who do you work for and where do your allegiances lie? Now, as crew in the employ of a particular principal, we work for that principal and have his best interests in everything that we did. If you are then also receiving some sort of compensation from an external third party, it doesn't matter if it's a shipyard or a paint supplier or whatever, but then you work for them as well. And then the clarity of judgment is called into question. And if there is, some sort of disagreement to be reconciled, you, as that individual working for the principal, does not have the full, let's say, independence to successfully settle a dispute. So all manner of things can happen off the back of that, but essentially the principal who initially employed you might not necessarily be getting value for his money.
How and why are owners blind to this scenario?
I don't think very many people tell them. It's the honest truth.
Mm.
Because there's not much incentive to tell them by those who are receiving these very handsome Fortnum and Mason. Do you know what I mean? So I can't say we're on a crusade, but certainly it's a subject close to my heart and our heart. Hence, we saw fit to publish an independent bill. Manual, because the more we sort of discuss this and bring this out into the open, the more that these senior, you know, even serial yacht owners might be made aware of it. And again, not to say that receiving a commission or anything on a sale is wrong in itself, but as long as it's above board and everybody is aware of what is going on and the everyone's values are aligned, then it can work very well.
Mm.
But the point is, we need to. So here we are coming and speaking with you because, and this has happened, and this is, you know, not as important, let's say, as some of the sexual harassment stories that are coming out, which are infinitely more deplorable. But it just goes on the list of big things that we need to talk about in pursuit of, you know, professionalism and standards and essentially just doing a good job.
Yeah. So my understanding then, okay, you've got people who are part of your network that you trust, which is really important. But I'm just wondering, do you have to perhaps vet particular organizations in the acquisition, build and refit phase?
We do, but in the same way that any, again, for example, the people whom we work for, these high net worth individuals, are typically involved in very large businesses. And in any large business deal or acquisition or any merger, there would be a significant amount of due diligence done.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Both sides, by the legal teams and by standards boards and ethics boards. And we're not doing anything new. In fact, we're using those exact same processes that these high net worth individuals, these big business owners, are perfectly familiar with, and using them in a slightly different setup. That's all. It is a wider problem, in fact. And I just want to touch on this. It's not directly related to your question, but it's always kind of blown my mind that, like I said, these titans of industry who are involved in big business and making massive decisions and deals on the daily, almost, their operations in their private life, let's say their hobbies, in this case yachting, are usually slightly chaotic. And it doesn't need to be in that way. You know, it is, you know, running a large is exactly the same as running a private jet. It's exactly the same as running a large multinational corporation. It's the same requirements of man management and financial discipline and compliance and insurance, for example. And, you know, we're not reinventing the wheel here.
Jack, can you expand more? You touched on the example with the getting a bottle of brandy or to pay if they use a particular service provider. But from an owner's perspective, what do you think they should be aware of when it comes to the potential that a party may be incentivized in some manner, if that makes sense? Where owner may believe someone's representing their interests, but commercially that person may also be incentivized elsewhere.
I mean, that's a tough one, and that's the crux of the matter. Mm. It's a very sensitive subject. So if I was talking to an owner, let's say we're in an initial meeting, let's say, he might want to engage with our services in whatever capacity. The first owner's reference has an independence test in the final.
Great. Yeah.
It's a 9 question list that we believe should be applied to any party in any negotiation, ourselves included. We hold ourselves to the same flame as everybody else, and I do believe that we pass the test handsomely. And it's questions along these lines. Now, there is a caveat. For example, a yacht captain, again, and I'm sorry to pick on the yacht captain. Well, I'm not picking on the yacht captains, but it's typically the captain because he's liaising with the owner directly. But let's say a yacht captain might recommend that the bird goes into STP in Palmer for some remedial works and then has a berth in Club de Mar. And that's because he has a house on the island. Now, that's not directly an incentive on a commercial base. He just wants to go home and see his family every night. Now, is there anything wrong with that? I don't believe so. However, if he's having a handsome, mysterious payment, you know, and he's not disclosing it to his boss for bringing the boat into that shipyard, that's when the alarm bells start to ring. Mm. And for the owner, okay, so what else don't I know? And what else am I not being told?
Sure.
It could be the canary in the coal mine. So I guess my thoughts would be there's nothing immediately wrong with the process, and it has been the way in the industry for a very long time. However, the minute that the snowball starts to roll down the hill, it's very difficult to stop. So, yeah, we have a set of questions which cover all sorts of topics, and I'll send you the links so the readers can just ask a couple of questions to bring these things into the open. And then after that a set of questions, if the principal is happy, then, you know, you carry on, right?
Mm-hmm. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Disclosure is pivotal. Without disclosure and transparency, trust is broken. Where is an owner most vulnerable? The first thought that comes to mind for myself is the lack of education. And I guess this is what your guide does. It provides the education that so that they can ask the right questions and hopefully get the right answers.
Exactly that. And well, I mean, it's a difficult thing. Yachting, boating as a concept, if you don't have any exposure to the water, it's quite a, in the same way that aviation is, it can be quite an affronting thing to step into with no prior knowledge. There's a huge amount of things and involved and people involved. There's all sorts of operational requirements. There's a ton of compliance on these larger yachts, and you know, it's quite a steep learning curve if you've never had any experience. Also, there's those who might have sailed, you know, in their younger years with the family or whatever, and then they're stepping onto something much larger. Now, that's a potentially an equally steep learning curve. So we, you know, just to give a bit of inside knowledge can be very valuable in a nice sort of easy format. And once knowledge is power. So once you know, then you're much more equipped to be sitting in these negotiations. And now if you want to go and buy your first boat, for example, I suppose where you might be the most vulnerable is in the earlier days of the sales and acquisition process. And the typical, you know, process would be a quick Google search and, or, you know, speak to your mates who might be boat owners themselves or know people who are, and a broker might be recommended to you. And the broker is your best mate, and he'll, you know, take you out and give you the hard sell and all of this. And if he's engaged, and then he'll say, well, you know, right, so we found this boat for you. Let's go and take a look at it. We're going to need a surveyor and potentially a captain. Let me make some calls. All of a sudden, these guys are right. And brilliant. And they're all very professional, and they've all got, you know, perfectly shaven beards and nice pressed polo shirts, and the whole thing's great. And you step on board your boat and we all go sailing. Question is, where did those guys come from? Because they know the broker. And, you know, there could be a conflict, is all I might say. Again, my recommendation to all clients is to build your team independently before you even start down this process.
Yes.
Get a maritime lawyer, get a captain who you can interview personally, a surveying firm who you've engaged independently of anybody else to fight your corner, because that's what it comes down to. This is a big business deal like any other, and you need guys on your side. And, you know, with the other point is the owner doesn't need all the technical knowledge, because there's lots of it, and captains and engineers exist to shoulder that burden. And invariably, they've all got 10, 15, 20 years experience each by the time they sit at the table in that advisory capacity. And that's something that you cannot replicate. So once you've got that level of knowledge around you who's on your side of the table, you are much better equipped for, you know, finding the correct boat in whichever form it may take, invariably at the correct price, and going into it with a full breadth of knowledge of what you're doing. And it doesn't need to be, you hear all these stories about, you know, boat stands to bust out another 1,000, and, you know, people go into these things, you know, a bit like a kid candy store, and next thing you know, they've got a massive bill in the shipyard and the engine's exploded and all the crews walked off. And, you know, it doesn't need to be that way, you know, just with a little bit of prior preparation, the old five B's, you can set yourself up really for success. And it is a wonderful thing. We've all worked in the yachting world for a long time because it's fantastic. And we're just here to
facilitate a beautiful experience. Yeah, for owners. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. What do you think? I'm interested in your definition of what you believe the role of an independent owner's rep should look like. And then the second part of that question, how do independent owner's reps protect not just the owner's investment? Obviously, that's a big part of their job, but also the long-term operational success of the vessel. Because I think this is where you see, whether it's crew issues or technical issues, fall through the gaps due to a lack of continuum of care and responsibility. I know that's a loaded question. I'll start with the first part.
You might need to tell me the second part. The role of an owner's representative, what does it look like? Well, in our limited experience, look, we're a small boutique firm. First of all, we're not one of the big brokerage houses. So we don't have big shiny offices in London and sponsoring heliports and things. So that's by design. Second of all, the job role itself. When an owner engages us, we are the glue that holds the entire operation together from that moment forward. Now, I personally have, you know, some technical knowledge and some operational experience, but I am by no means the best of the best. You know, you got a captain who's been in the job 50 years. So we defer on all things to our, you know, our advisors and our consultants. And if we don't know, then we ask in the wider network. And then we become the central point of contact for the legal team, for the technical team, let's say, and, you know, the family office for the financials. And we point and we send emails back and forth and we coordinate the job in whatever form it is, if it's a purchase or a refit or even just some operational issues. We're in the middle. And we work only for the owner. And what we do is ensure success in all things and pursue that outcome. And like I say, how do we do that? Well, we keep the placement. And that is the what separates, I think, a good owner's rep from a great one is you end up becoming actually quite a diplomat. And the skills are less, although you need some technical knowledge, you actually need a huge amount of diplomatic skills to coordinate all of these different parties and stakeholders and situations for the outcome. because invariably you've got a lot of very experienced people with a lot of ideas. And the trick is to find the correct path through to all of those ideas in pursuit of the goal. So it's a lot of talking, it's a lot of discussion, it's a lot of making friends, it's a lot of holding people to account. It's having the difficult conversations when they need to be had, but it's also about ensuring that the problem is identified before that happens. And then you are very well positioned to liaise directly with the owner to find that successful outcome.
So, going back to the next question, I might reframe it a bit differently, but post-build or refit, what should the role of the owner's rep look like from a more ongoing basis, if you will?
That's an interesting point as well, is the job role does actually change. And I guess we haven't touched on that yet. So let's go down that little rabbit hole. So let's say the owner's representative is engaged prior to the purchase. Mm-hmm. And we walk through the purchase process with the principal, coordinating, like I say, legal teams and technical teams and the financial teams. And the acquisition process is then completed and the principal is standing on the aft deck of the boat. So then that's the point where the owner's representative role changes into more of an operational role. And could take the form of a yacht manager, who then is responsible as the designated person ashore, responsible for the training and the security of the vessel. Or the owner's representative could then employ a yacht manager for that, and then remain purely as a let's say an umbrella view of the whole thing. You know, especially if there's more than one vessel involved, it's quite a big thing. So, you know, you leave the captains and the managers for the daily operation of the boat, and then the owner's rep is working with the principal and the family office for the 5 or 10 year plan. It's an organic role that develops. Yeah,
as the vessel evolves. Yeah, and do you think? Yeah, do you think they should have involvement with the crew and keep their finger on the pulse in terms of what is happening there from a human dynamic perspective?
Absolutely. Absolutely, there is.
Why is that not happening? Why isn't it happening?
Well, again, that's a good question. As you can probably tell, I have reservations about the large brokerage houses, and especially the technical operations teams. Now, they're all very experienced and professional guys in the coal face, and the actual work is unparalleled. However, the business structure of the large brokerage houses means that the technical department is actually a loss leader, and is there to just maintain the relationship with the client on the hopes that he might then buy a new boat in 5 years' time. And so therefore, there is not the budget or the appetite or much in the way of operational involvement. It doesn't need to be daily, but it, you know, operational involvement. So, of course, it's our belief that is not actually very good money, value for money. And it is our belief, my belief particularly, that yacht managers and the senior management of the yachts are sort of in their ivory tower, you know, big white beards and pointy hats, you know, and sending decrees down from on high, when actually to be embedded and often seen on board, having relationships with the crew, and particularly even in the junior ranks, to show your face and to be there and be around provides a massive value add, because then you catch problems before they become problems. A whisper on the deckhand saying, hey, look, I'm not happy about how this life raft is mounted, for example. Or again, heaven forbid, it could be one of the crew members saying, look, I just want to talk to you very quickly about this person is making me feel uncomfortable. And that could be a conversation they don't want to have with the captain. It also means that there's a party less involved in the direct running of the boat, who then can come in with a slightly different perspective on the safety procedures or the technicalities of a situation, whatever, it doesn't matter, but it's an alternate view with an alternate viewing point. So that's what I do. That's what we do. We keep a really good, very close relationship with the crew. Now, we're not stepping on anybody's toes. If you look at any one of our yacht management proposals that we send to the client, one of the taglines that we use is on the owner's side, by the captain's side. The captain's there for a very good reason. He can do his job infinitely better than we are. You're there to support and to assist and to help, not to point fingers and say, this is bad and it's terrible, because that doesn't build a good culture. No. What builds a good culture is maintaining the professionalism, everybody doing their job, the senior members of crew and management providing the tools and the time and the facilities for those experts to do their jobs. And then everybody goes and has a beer in the evening or goes running in the morning before work all together. And that's how you, so that's what we do.
The biggest thing I think captains are looking for is that support, because they feel completely micromanaged and suffocated, and there's no autonomy.
It's a very common story. It's a very common story. You know, the larger management companies have a very tight brief from the owners. Invariably, they have two holds to account. Of course, they do. And now everybody gets held to account. We all work for somebody, but there are different ways to do that. And I believe much more involved
and independent as well. The key operative word there. I think I'm in a very similar position.
This is it, you know. And like I say, the minute that you're working for more than one person, you've got double the amount of responsibilities.
I'm curious to know. You finish. I get too excited.
It's okay. It's just all about value for money. I guess that's the crux of the matter. You get someone who's just working for you, he's just on your side, he's fine. Or maybe fine is wrong, but it's just constantly pushing for the position of the owner and the success of the program on behalf of the owner. That's what separates the good guys from the really great ones. What is often not realized in the yachting world, in my opinion, is that we're a massively loss-making enterprise. I mean, there's only a handful of charter yachts in the world that turn a profit. And they are run pretty hard. So you can safely say that nobody buys a yacht and make money. So then the currency that we operate on actually becomes time. These guys who are at the top of their industry often do not have the time to be wasting. They're required to be in multiple places in the world on a weekly basis. And the time on their boat is very valuable. And so we then change the approach to, okay, how can we guarantee 100% that this week charter, for example, will go smoothly and will be the best value for their time? So anyway, I'll do that.
Okay, so in terms of an independent owner's rep, what do you think the relationship should look like with the yacht management company if one is required?
Both professional to the highest degree and as friendly as possible. It's a two-pronged approach. It's a massive responsibility to be engaged as an owner's representative, particularly on a purchase, because you are negotiating millions and millions of dollars, and there need to be a sufficient amount of professional standards. And that's another crusade that we're on at the moment, is to raise those professional standards yet further. There's a lot of big push in the industry, but there's always room for improvement. However, you get more flies with honey than vinegar. That's where I come back to the point about being a diplomat. It's a huge amount of diplomacy to get these big deals over the line. Sometimes there's many factors involved, and a lot of it is being approachable, being the guy that people want to call to, with an issue that needs to be solved, and being able to run the team and manage it is a very important thing. So we are both the professional authority, but also the point of contact for anyone in the team who's involved or any stakeholder to help and assist and to smooth it over.
Intimacy, I would say integrity, professionalism, and transparency / honesty are probably the values you would like to see within an independent owner's rep.
You're absolutely right. In fact, integrity, I think, is the most important word. You can say as much as you want to say in this, you know, you can talk for the whole afternoon, but you also have to show up when it matters and you have to prove it with your actions. And that's a very tough thing. It's integrity. The definition of integrity is doing the right thing when nobody is there to see it. And that is, it's a difficult thing in the modern world to keep your integrity at all times.
And I think the carrots that dangle in front of people's eyes are the dollar signs. And that's where integrity could either be dissolved or diluted because of greed.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's the human condition. You know, it's how we're programmed. It's what we do. However, for me, it is of the utmost importance to maintain your integrity at all times. It's doing the right thing when no one's there to see it, to in pursuit of a bigger picture and a wider view. If you're of the Christian faith, when you're standing at the pearly gates in front of St. Peter, two things you have. A very important, very valuable value indeed for an owner's representative to really do his job well.
Yes. I've got two more questions for you. I'm curious to know, given the good work that you're doing, whether you've experienced any backlash, well-known yacht management institutions.
I have had a few requests to interview declined. It's true. That's okay. You know, it's no comment about the people who I have requested interviews of. It's a difficult thing, and some people do not want to stand above a parapet because they want to keep their job, and that is absolutely fine, fair enough. I'm pleased to say I haven't had any very negative messages comment. It's true. In general, the reception has been actually amazing. It's been very positive indeed. Like yourself, a lot of people have said, hey, this is actually really cool. It's come at a good time. And we value what you're doing. There will always be opposition to anything that you do, of course. But that's good. Mm. That's how we know that we're making tracks and we're on the pole. So it's in a funny old kind of way, it's a confirmation of what we're doing. So no, in general, the reception has been really wonderful.
I'm pleased to hear it. Okay, so if you could educate every yacht owner on one thing before entering a build or purchase, what would it be?
It would be, unfortunately, it's two things. So it's not quite to your question, but the two points that I want to just emphasize is, first of all, do your due diligence and a little bit of reading, because it's a pretty complicated endeavor to embark on. And secondly, is have guys in your corner of the boxing ring at all times, in all things. With those two tenements set, the rest will follow and actually becomes reasonably straightforward and very beneficial. And like I say, I'm a lifelong sailor. You know, I joke, if you cut my arm off, you know, you'll just see teak and timber. It gets into your blood and you'll never want to do anything else. And the opportunities and the exciting places that you'll see, it presents to you, is just unparalleled. Mm-hmm. It will be some of the best holidays you'll ever have in your entire life. And, you know, if you're into yacht racing as well, there's great competition and all of it. It is really cool. You just need to have guys on your side to help you.
Obviously, you are those guys. So how do people find you?
We are. There are others, of course. But yeah, we're at fallenmarine.com. My name's Jack. Get me at jack@fallenmarine.com. We love to just talk about boats. So just drop me a line. I'll buy you a coffee. You know, we just love to talk about boats. You don't even have to buy them. But yeah, no, we're there. There are, like I say, other marine management companies available. So do your due diligence and go and pick one. But yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks for your time, Jack. Love talking to you and wish you all the best in your endeavors. Yeah, I certainly am a big cheerleader with what you guys are doing, and it's been a long time coming.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear it. And yeah, we're going to continue to write and develop the First Owner's Reference over the next few months. And then we look forward to print edition coming sometime around November of this year. That's also firstownersreference.com for anybody who's interested.
Thanks, Jack.
Great.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.